Okay, page Hey Amid Aleph, right after the second Mishnah, the second of the wide lines. Yeah, Gemara. Okay, the Mishnah, there was a din that we learned last time, that Edom Zaymimin, in order to disqualify them, you have to disqualify them, not the one they're testifying about. That means if they said, we saw Reuven kill Shimon Sunday morning in L.A., and two other witnesses say, Reuven was with us in Hawaii, then there's not Edom Zaymimin. Edom Zaymimin is when you come to the witnesses and say, you guys were with us in Hawaii.
Both
of them, yeah. Okay? And then, okay, another thing, the mayor, Rabbi Yehuda, says, what happens in a case where one group keeps disqualifying 100 groups? So the Mitanikam and the Chacham say they all get killed. Rabbi Yehuda said this is fishy. So this last group is a plotting testimony. We don't believe them. That's what the Gemara said. So the Gemara asked, Minahani Mili. From where do we learn? From where do we learn that Edom Zaymimin, you have to disqualify the witnesses themselves? He says, Amir Avada Damakra, because the Pasuk says, Vihine a Sheker Ha'ed, the witness was false. Sheker Ana Bi'achiv. That means, yeah, Sheker Ana, meaning, Ad Sheteshkar Gufa Shel Edis. You have to make the persons of the testimony false. In other words, the aid is shaked, not what he's testifying about. That's the difference, the Gemara says. The Torah says, aid shaked, that the witness is false, meaning with saying, how could you say you saw the murder when you were with us? Rabbi Shmuel's yeshiva learned a different reason. That, what does it mean? Nadeh's Baisara, it says to testify against him, meaning to remove something from reality. Meaning, Ashetisra Gufa Shal Edis, until the persons of the witnesses, meaning the witnesses themselves, are removed from the scene of the crime by saying you guys were with us somewhere else. Okay? So these two psukim, either Eid Shakir Ha'ed or La'ani's Baisara, teaches us that you have to disqualify the witnesses themselves to make them Edom Zaymimin, not to disqualify what they're testifying against. So therefore the Mishnah said, if they testify, we saw Reuven kill Shimon in L.A., and then somebody says Reuven wasn't there, or Shimon wasn't there, whatever, that's not Edom Zaymimin. You have to disqualify the witnesses themselves. Now Rava starts with a new halacha. Amar Rava, Rava said, and this is a very simple Gemara, Bo Shnayim Va'amru, two people came and said the following. B'mizrach Bira, on the east side of the palace, on the east side of the palace, Abharak Plenius and Nefesh, that Reuven killed Shimon on the east side of the building. Ubo Shnayim Va'amru, and another two witnesses came and said, but you were with us at that time on the west side of the building. That means two witnesses come and say, we saw Reuven kill Shimon at 10 o'clock in the morning on the east side of the building. Another two witnesses come and say, how could you two say you saw him on the east side of the building? You were with us on the west side of the building.
And they couldn't see.
Oh, so now the Mishnah says, well, Rav says, Chazinu, we see. If it's possible that if you're on the west side of the building, you could see the east side of the building, because it's a possibility they were attacked on the west side of the building, but they saw what was going on in the east side of the building. And if it's impossible to see from the east side of the building to the west side of the building, or from the west side of the building to the east side of the building, then they are Edom Zaymimin. So it's a very logical din. If they can see, because they said it happened on the east. Two other witnesses say, you were with us in the west. Okay? So it's possible they're not lying. Because maybe from the west, they can see the east. And if they can, then it's not Edom Zaymimin, because they didn't lie. They can still see that the guy killed him on the east side of the building. So the Gemara says, Pshita. Of course, it's simple logic. So Gemara says, Mao, the tema, I would think, Lechish Lenahera Badia. Maybe somebody has a very good eyesight that normal people can't see from the east to the west, but he could. So maybe he has very good eyesight, so maybe he's not a liar. Maybe they were standing on the west and they saw what was going on the east. So Gemara says, Kamashmal and the Chiddush is no. And you can't do it. I mean, they're Adam Zaymim. The problem was, you wouldn't necessarily kill the Adam Zaymimin though. Because it's not definite. Maybe they do have good sight. This is somebody Shane wanna learn. Somebody Shane wanna learn that because of the possibility, because you can't kill somebody unless if you're certain. So to disqualify them, we could, but not necessarily kill them. Because to kill, you need 100% proof. Like the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, if you see a guy walking into a room with a knife, and he comes out of the room with a bloody knife, and you walk into the room, and there's a dead body there, and there's no windows, there's no other way it could happen. You can't kill him. Because it's still circumstantial evidence. It's not definite.
Maybe the other guy fell on the knife. Or
whatever. You didn't see him kill him. It looks for sure that he killed him. It's not a proof. That you need 100% certainty.
Eyewitness.
For money, yeah, eyewitness.
Yeah.
Not circumstantial eyewitness. You need definite nose. Circumstantial evidence, two witnesses could see that. They can come and say, yeah. I mean, there's no question that he killed him. But I'm saying eyewitness. Even if it's circumstantial, you don't kill a guy. It must be definite proof.
So this guy's not an Adam Zimmerman then?
Well, the Gemara says he would be Adam Zimmerman. That doesn't mean you might not kill him.
But doesn't Adam Zimmerman, by definition, include you have to do to the guy what he wants to do to the other people?
Yeah, but the question is, in this case, though, would it go that far to kill him? But simply, they would.
What about the killer confessed himself?
No, but not good.
Ain't that the
Mesim Esatz Merosha? A person is not believed to make himself a Rosha, not only for death, even for Malkus. If somebody eats Chazer, they get Malkus, yeah? Lashes. If somebody comes to Bezin and says, Bezin, I want you to know I eat Chazer, give me Malkus. Bezin can't do it. He's not believed. If he says, I killed somebody, you don't believe him.
I learned in Gittim, if a woman comes and says, I committed adultery, the husband doesn't believe
her. Right.
Same thing?
Yeah. Not only that, if a guy says, I committed adultery with that person, he's not believed on himself, but he's believed with a second witness on that person that they can get killed.
Can make the other one.
Yeah.
Be a witness.
But not in himself.
So what are they killing him for?
Huh?
They committed adultery with somebody else.
Nothing, unless if there's two other witnesses.
So except killing, there's no other, like, prison or anything else?
There's no prison in Yiddishkeit. There's no punishment of prison. The Gemara says, prison, you have a chumash. The guy was chopping wood on Shabbos. Mekesh hates him. They didn't know what to do with him, so they locked him up until Hashem said what to do. There is a concept of a prison. If you know a guy kept doing avedis and killing people, but there were never witnesses, but you know he did it, they would lock him up, not as a punishment to keep him off the street.
Yeah, I'm not saying.
But I'm saying there's no punishment in Torah law of prison.
Yeah, but in this case, prison doesn't apply because either the guy is guilty or not guilty.
Correct.
Can't be like,
correct. Correct.
And if they not believe that
if they not believe, then nothing. There's not go home. Listen, that's the strange thing of witnesses. Mesha and Aden. The only problem they have is that they're relatives. Yeah? If Mesha and Aden saw a murder, and they come to Bezdin, and they say, Bezdin, we saw Reuven kill Shimon. Bezdin can't do anything.
Because they're brothers.
They're not kosher. That's it. Mm-hmm. Are they saying the truth? There's no question. Moshe and Aaron don't lie. There's no question. Yeah? But Moshe and Aaron are not allowed to testify because they happen to be two brothers. Moshe with Yankel Todris could testify because they're not related. But
wasn't the case, wasn't the mayor, he saw that guy go in with the knife and come out and was bloody, and he turned to Hashem and he said, I don't know what happened, but you know. And a snake came and bit him and he died.
So that's David, like Rashi says, Al Kimin Al Yadei, Hashem could take care of it. Okay, Amr Avad Avad said another din. Two witnesses testify in the city of Sura. We saw, it's a city in Babel. In Sura, we saw the way Reuven killed Shimon Sunday morning. And two other people come and say, Shabbat on Sunday night, you were with us in Narda. That means, give me an example. Let's speak in modern day terms. Two Aides come and say, we saw Reuven kill Shimon in L.A. Sunday morning. And two other witnesses come and say, what do you mean? Sunday night, you were with us in New York. They're not saying you were with us Sunday morning. Sunday morning, we saw two witnesses say, Reuven killed Shimon in L.A. Right. Two other witnesses come and say, how could you say Sunday morning, you saw him in L.A.? Sunday night, you were with us in New York. So what's the din? So Ravis says, Chazinu, we see. Imitzafra lepanya. If it's possible from the morning to at night to go from Surah to Narda, then they're not Eidim Zaymim. Because maybe they were attacking the morning in LA and at night they were in New York. That the fact that they were at night in New York doesn't mean they weren't Sunday morning in LA. It's possible to in the same day to travel. Vilav have a Zaymim. And if not, there's Zaymim. So the Gemara says, Pshit, of course, it's obvious. I mean, it's still simple logic. So the Gemara says, Ma'o, the time I would think, Leichesh, the Gama Parcha is an unusually fast camel. That means normally you can do it, but maybe it was a Concord camel that did it very fast, and maybe it's, in crazy circumstances possible. The Gemara said, well, no, we don't go that far. We don't consider this a possibility. That maybe they have super x-ray vision, and maybe they have unbelievably fast animals. Okay? But Lapel, and that's an interesting thing. Years ago, if somebody said, we saw Aedis in L.A. Sunday morning, and then Sunday night you were in, they say we're in New York, so obviously that would be, years ago, before airplanes, for sure would be Eidim Zaymim. Yeah, today where's possibility that it wouldn't be Eidim. I mean, Pesachal today we don't have Eidim Zaymim, but I'm saying conceptually, just because in the olden times it couldn't have been, that doesn't mean nowadays it can't be. Nowadays it could be.
It's all relative
to this. It's not Kabbalah. It's poshut, very practical. If it's possible to be, you could, and if not, it's not. Mm-hmm. Now Rava said another thing.
So in this case, they also wouldn't kill them.
Huh?
Because there is some chance.
If there's possible, not crazy.
Yeah, just like maybe they do have good eyesight. Maybe they.
So Marz, maybe there's a fast camel that we're not cheshish, but if it's a normal situation where it's possible to do it. Moshe would say, you're not afraid he took a spaceship. You know what I mean? Or whatever. That you're not afraid of. V'amr Ava said another din. Bo Shnaim V'amru, two people came and said the following. B'chab Shabbat Tohorek Plenius HaNefesh. Sunday morning, we saw Reuven kill Shimon. Okay, this din needs a little bit of concentration, so to speak. Sunday morning, they say, we saw Reuven kill Shimon. Obo Shnaim V'amru, and they said the following. Other two came, that B'chab Shabbat Imanu Ayisim. You were with us Sunday morning in a different place, but betray b'Shabbat Tohorek Plenius HaNefesh. But on Monday, Reuven did kill Shimon. What are they saying? Two witnesses came and said, we saw Reuven kill Shimon Sunday morning. Another two witnesses come and say, Sunday morning you were with us. But Reuven did kill Shimon Monday morning.
Well,
basically, the question is, the guy Taka deserves to die anyway.
Yeah.
So had the Eidim Zaymim killing an innocent person. What's the whole din of Edom Zaymimin? They want to kill an innocent person. So therefore, the Torah says, you do to them what they wanted to do to the other person.
That's the whole.
But here,
Lucha'eda, they're saying the guy did kill him Monday morning. Not Monday. Sunday, like you said. Sunday, you were with us. But that's important detail. You were with us. Because like we learned before, if two witnesses come and say, Reuven killed Shimon Sunday, other two witnesses say, Reuven killed Shimon Monday, that's what's called hakhosha, and there are no witnesses. Here the witnesses say, though, you were with us Sunday morning. Right? But they're also saying, but Reuven did kill Shimon Monday morning.
So they're made on a dead man.
Huh? No.
There's no witness.
V'lo eid, not only this, even if they say even more. You guys said Sunday morning Reuven killed Shimon, yeah? We're telling you he killed him Friday morning. Like this, the first case was he killed him Monday. Now they're saying even more. Reuven killed Shimon Friday. The first two say it happened Sunday, right? Then the second group says Sunday you were with us. But Reuven did kill Shimon either Monday or even Friday before. The din is Neharogim. You kill them. They both, them, both cases. Why?
And the witness, huh?
Explain. The Be'idna, the Kamisade. Because when they testified, Gavre Lav Vakotolo, the guy wasn't a convicted murderer yet.
You kill the murderer also?
Yeah.
Well, so if it happened the Friday before.
One second, we're going to see this.
Which set of witnesses you killed? The first set or the second set?
You always kill the second. That's what the Torah says. I'm sorry. You believe the second, you're right. You believe the second, you killed the first.
Right. The one who said Sunday.
Right. Because they wanted to kill an innocent person. Now, the understanding of this is very simple. Until a guy is convicted, he is not convicted. You're innocent until proven guilty. Now, the first group says, Reuven killed Shimon Sunday morning in LA. And then the second group says, you were with us, but he killed him Monday. That's simple. When they testified him on Sunday there was no death yet. Right? So for sure they wanted to kill an innocent person. He's going to get killed the next day anyway. Doesn't matter. Right now, he's innocent. But even if they say he was killed Friday, but no Beis Din ever convicted him yet. Mm-hmm. Beis Din didn't convict him. So he's still an innocent person. So they wanted to kill an innocent person. Mm-hmm. A day later, Beis Din's going to kill him? It's totally irrelevant. It's nothing to do with them. They wanted to kill an innocent person. They said he killed him Sunday. When Sunday he didn't kill him. So Reuven Sunday was innocent. Right? Take it even a step further. Even if they said he killed him Friday. Right? But right. Until they come to testify that, he's innocent. Right. So when they testify that Sunday morning we saw him kill him, they're liars. And they want to kill an innocent person.
But here it seems to be that it would be a big mistake, misunderstanding on the date.
Yeah, but in the din of Eidus, in Drish and Chakira, if they don't know which day it is, that's not they're not good witnesses.
Mm-hmm. So they have to know 100%
which day it is. One of the basic seven bedikas that they have to know is which day of the week it is. Now, the exception to this is sometimes a month can have 29 days. One day Rosh Chodesh. Sometimes it can have 2 days Rosh Chodesh. Right? Today we have calendars. But in the olden times we didn't have calendars. So if a guy said it was Sunday on the 30th day of the month, and the other guy said it was Sunday the first day of the month, even though this guy says 29th day of the month, and this guy says 30th day of the month, that's not a problem. 30th and first. But if a guy says it was on the 4th day of the month, the other one says on the 5th day of the month, it's no good. The same thing, yeah, the Gemara is...
What if this is Sunday, once is Sunday the 4th, Sunday the 5th?
It's that's Sunday no good. It contradicts each other. Because by then people know already. By then people should know which day of the month it is. Now, what happens, the same thing, if a guy says, a guy murdered somebody, what's the Gemara say? I think 11 o'clock and 12 o'clock. You know, in the old times they didn't have clocks. It's people told by the sun. So it's possible to make a mistake in the exact time by an hour or so. But not between 11 and 1. Because then the sun's in the middle and the sun's this way and the sun's that way. So then you couldn't make a mistake.
And sun clocks.
Huh?
And sun clocks.
Well, they didn't have, but most people told basically by the sun what time it was.
And the season changes.
Right, so they understood which time it was. But coming back to Agamada, if a guy says it was Sunday and a guy says it was Monday, it's not a kosher, the witness is bottle. Forget Einim Zayim. If one witness comes to bed and says, Sunday morning Reuven killed Shimon, and another witness comes and says, it was Monday, they don't even know of each other. It comes to, you know, it's a kosher. I mean, one witness cancels out the next, it's two against two, and it's not there.
Did they have forensic sciences?
No. Quantitative forensic scientist doesn't know anything. DNA is not good in halacha.
Whether for sure this guy was killed 2 days before that, you claim?
No. Torah doesn't go by that. DNA would not be a good testimony today. In Beis Din, it wouldn't be. DNA would not be a good proof. It has to be
Shnei
Eidim.
Anybody on DNA?
Huh?
You can't kill anybody.
You cannot kill anybody based on DNA proof.
But now they can. Here they can, right?
In America they do, but in Torah law, if you would have the Beis Din today, yeah, they couldn't kill him. Torah has to be two Eidim. Not in capital punishment. In monetary issues, yeah, circumstantial proof would be proof.
Otherwise, I mean, they never kill anybody.
Beis Din rarely killed somebody. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, a Beis Din kills somebody in 7 years. Another opinion says 70 years. It's called a killing Beis Din. Killing Beis Din. Rabbi Kiva said, if I would be in the Beis Din, nobody would ever get killed. Because it would make the witnesses so crazy, they wouldn't get killed. The Rambam paskens, the Chachamim, that once in 7 years, if a Beis Din kills somebody once in 7 years, they were called a killing Beis Din.
And since there's no concept of a lawyer,
right?
There's no lawyer, it's all up to the judge.
Yeah, it wasn't... But it's interesting, we're going to see later in the Gemara, nowadays you have the verdict and then the sentencing. Today in court you have, the first the jury comes back, he's guilty. Then we don't know what the punishment's going to be. Then comes 5 months later, then they tell you what the sentence is. In Yiddishkeit it doesn't work like that, in Torah law. You're guilty, the punishment, and it has to be done that day. Okay. There's no death row in Yiddishkeit. According to Halacha, Beis Din had to kill the guy the day they pronounced sentence.
Day of the verdict.
The day of the verdict and sentence, yeah?
There.
Why? Because it's torture. A guy knows he's getting killed. You torture him to keep him alive like today. The guy's in death row.
10 years, not bad.
10 years. Beis Din killed right away.
Yeah, but they have all this Halacha and we never killed.
It's great, no true. Well, technically, if two kosher witnesses come,
and that's not Hazara, isn't it?
They have to warn the guy. Correct.
Have to warn the guy not to kill.
To be,
yeah.
Warn him. Going to kill somebody without.
Not only that, it's not only that you have to warn him. You have to warn him within 3 seconds. If you warn the guy 10 minutes ago, don't kill. Two witnesses see a guy's about to kill somebody. Yeah, and they. 10 minutes at 12 o'clock they say to him, they see he's about to kill somebody, you say, no, you're not allowed to kill. If you kill, you get the capital punishment. And he didn't kill him for 10 minutes, and 10 minutes later he kills him, he doesn't get capital punishment. Nothing.
Let him go.
I mean, Beis Din punishes him, but there's no
lashes, and that's it.
No lashes, he doesn't get killed, because Hasra needs Teich Kedei Dibur within the amount of time it takes to say Shalom Aleichem Rabbi. Why? Because maybe he forgot it.
He gets acquitted on technicality.
Yeah. Yeah. In Bezna, it was a lot of technique.
4 seconds.
If you, the amount of time it says to say Shalom Aleichem Rebbe. I told you that this is how the Rebbe explained. It's a phenomenal explanation that the Rebbe gave when they asked the question to a bunch of Chabad rabbis that they didn't get the answer straight. Somebody once asked a talk show host in New York, said, if Torah is chesed, Torah is kindness, how is it possible a guy eats a piece of chazed? A kazayis, 1 ounce of chazed. You get 39 lashes. I mean, that's chesed, that's not chesed. So the Rebbe answered, the Rebbe went through this whole explanation. Number one, you need hasra, toch kedei dibur. Secondly, the Rebbe quoted the Mishnah, it says, every action a person does has an influence on the whole world. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, lama nivra adam yechidi, why did God create adam rishon one man? He didn't create one donkey, he created millions of donkeys. Yeah, Hashem didn't create a million people, created one person. So the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, why? Lema, to teach us, shechayev kol echad ve'echad lema b'shvili nivra ha'olam, that every person is obligated to say, the world was created for me. One, so the Rambam explains the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah mean? Pirush Mishnayis, the Rambam explains, and also in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam explains that the Mishnah means is that when a person is about to do something, Yira atzmei shakul v'chol ha'elam kule shakul, you should look at him and the world as an equally balanced scale. You do one good deed, you bring the whole world down to good, or up to good. You do one aveda, you bring the whole world down to bad. That means whatever you're going to do, b'shvili nivra olam, the Rambam says, means my action, my thought, my speech, my action is going to affect the entire world. So the Rebbe explains, can you imagine if you come over to a guy and you say, you want to eat this chazer? Don't eat it. Because if you eat it, you're going to drag the whole world into evil. And you warn the guy right before it, teich kedei dibur, within 3-4 seconds, and the guy still has the chutzpah to do it and not care about the whole world that he's dragging down into mud, the guy deserves to get killed. The Torah is very kind, it says give him whips, whip him instead. But that's what you're right on, the technicality of witnesses, or technicality of...
And all these are derived from the Chumash?
Yeah.
Within 2 seconds, you have to warn him?
Everything is derived from the Chumash.
Who was that? Where the guy that was speaking on Shabbos?
Yeah.
That's where you get it?
Well, partly over there, yeah. Yeah. A bunch of the dinar halacha l'Moshe Messinai, but that's it. So the Perel Rav says as follows, that if they testify Sunday, and the other two witnesses say, Sunday you were with us, but he killed him Monday, or even Friday, they're Edom Zayimimin, because when they testified about Sunday morning, the guy was either not doing it yet or not convicted yet. So the Gemara asked Pshita, Micah Mashmalon, what's Rav teaching us? Tanina, we learned it. It says in the Braisa, in the Mishnah on the Braisa, the Fikach Nimsach Miam Zaymimis, if one of the sets is to be Edom Zaymimin, Hu Vehein Neragim, he and they are killed, Vashniya, and the second set, is exempt from punishment. What's the case over there? There's a din as follows. By Edom Zaymimin, we'll learn later in the Mishnah, you have to do Hazama on all of them. In other words, to disqualify the witnesses, you have to disqualify all of them. What does it mean? If two witnesses say, Reuven killed Shimon Sunday morning in L.A. Yeah? Then, two witnesses come and say, one of the witnesses was with us in Hawaii. Not both, one of them. They're not Zaymimin. Because you have to disqualify both of them.
Okay.
Now, if there's five witnesses coming together, you have to disqualify all five because it's one group. Okay? This is the din. So the Mishnah later says a din. What happens if a murder took place here, in the middle? Two witnesses saw him from here, two witnesses saw the murder from here, and two witnesses saw the murder from here. Is this one group of four, or is it two separate groups of two?
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference? If I disqualify these two, but not these two, is it like only disqualifying part of the group, or the entire group? So the Mishnah says later, if this group can see this group, then it's one group. If this group can't see this group, it's two separate groups. And if I disqualify one, the other doesn't become disqualified. So the Mishnah says over there, that what do they say? If one of them, one of the two groups, became Zaymimin, the other one, they'd get killed, but not the other one. Not the other group. Because the other group didn't become...
They can't see each other.
Right. So what do you see from there? That even though LaPearl, the guy's going to get killed anyway. The guy's going to get killed anyway. Because of these kosher witnesses that are left testifying the guy killed him. Nevertheless, they get killed anyway. Why? Because until they testify, he's not a dead person yet.
And if they're a group, you need all four of them to be disqualified. They could see each other.
What?
If they could see each other, you have to have all four disqualified.
Right. So the Gemara asks, why does Rav have to... what did you want to ask? Huh? Okay. So now the Gemara's question is, So why is Rav telling me a din? Rav is telling me basically a din. That the fact that he's going to get killed anyway doesn't exempt Adam Zaymim. It says over here clearly that these guys get killed even though the guy's going to get killed anyway. Right? So why does Rav have to tell me the same din? So the Gemara says, Seifa Mashenki Begimai Din Isachim, because Rav says the second half to his din. What does Rav say? Rav says the following. Bo Shanaim Ba'amru, the witnesses didn't say Reuven killed Shimon Sunday morning. They say that on Sunday morning, Bezdin Paskin Reuven should get killed. Not that Reuven killed Shimon Sunday morning. The witnesses say, we saw Bezdin on Sunday morning convict Reuven for the murder.
They turned this to another Bezdin.
Right. And then, Ubo Shnaim Ba'amru, and then the second group comes and say, how could you two say Bezdin convicted Reuven Sunday morning? You guys were with us in a different city. How can you know what Bezdin's doing? And they say, but Erev B'Shabbes Nigmar Medina Shoplani. But the guy was convicted on Friday. Then the din is, he's not Adam Zaymimin. Or we say more, I feel on B'Tebe Shabbat the Nigmar Medina Shoplani, that the sentencing took place after the Hazama, Ein Eilu Narogim, they're not executed. They're not Adam Zaymimin. Why? The Be'in and the Kom Masadi, when they're testifying, Gavra Barkatolo. He was already convicted in the murder. Meaning, they're saying that the guy killed the guy earlier, though. So therefore, it's considered already a dead guy. Meaning as follows. Until the guy is convicted, he's innocent. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if they say that Reuven killed Shimon's son, he killed him Sunday morning in L.A., even though they say he killed him Friday, but he was not convicted yet. If he's not convicted, they're Adam Zaymimin, because they wanted to kill an innocent person. But if they say the conviction took place Sunday, right? And they said Sunday morning you were with us, but the conviction took place Friday, so then he's guilty.
Who was guilty?
The guy was already guilty on Friday. Or
what if they didn't know that he was
writing?
What if they didn't know?
But there's another issue. The Edom Zaymim, even if they say that on Monday the testimony was, the guy was sentenced, which the witnesses say that it happened Sunday, but the witnesses are coming on Tuesday. So when the time the Edom Zaymim testified, the fact was Bezdin made this conviction already, so then the witnesses don't get killed.
Dead man already.
Because he's already a dead man. And that's what Rav's unique din is. Not that if he wasn't convicted yet, he's innocent. That the Mishnah says. Rav's din is, if the guy was convicted, and the bottom line is that Edom Zaymim lied, they said the testimony, after the guy was sentenced, they're innocent. Because he testified against a dead man. The guy wasn't killed yet, doesn't matter. Once he's convicted, he's a dead man.
Even though they wanted to kill an innocent person.
Correct.
Now, how could they be sentenced if there was... There must have been another Edom then.
Yeah, there were other Edom. Mm-hmm. That were kosher witnesses. Uh-huh. But they're lying about the sentencing. So Rav is speaking a case where they're lying about the sentencing.
So they get off the hook, scot-free.
They get off the hook. We're going to learn later in the Gemara, and this we obviously discussed. The Torah says you only do to them what they wanted to do to their friend. Okay? But if two witnesses come and say Reuven killed Shimon, and Bezdin killed Reuven, Bezdin went ahead and killed Reuven based on their testimony. Right. And later they were disqualified, you don't do anything to the witnesses. Right. You can't do anything to the witnesses because they're nothing. They didn't do anything. They testified against a dead person. To testify against a dead person is not worth anything.
That's also.
Yeah.
You have to get killed.
About Rabbi Chaim. What?
You have to get killed. That's what they didn't kill.
That's what we learned. We discussed it. Rabbi Chaim explained because they were, if Bezdin killed them, they were supposed to get killed. So that's what Rav is saying. If they testified, when they testified against an innocent person, even though the guy wasn't innocent a day later he was taka guilty, yeah, but they testified against an innocent person, so there's Edom Zaymim. But if it was sentencing took place before the witnesses testified, even though they testified that it happened before the sentencing, for instance, on Tuesday, Edom Zaymim come and say, Sunday, he was sentenced. Then, second group of Edom come and say, how could you say Sunday they were sentenced? You were with us Sunday. But they were sentenced on Monday. But they're appeal coming Tuesday. After. He was convicted Monday. They said Sunday. The first group. Right? So the second group said, Sunday you were with us, but he was convicted Monday. But they're coming Tuesday to testify that he was sentenced on Sunday. Bottom line is, Monday he was sentenced. That was before they testified on Tuesday. Even though they're testifying on Sunday, but when did they actually testify? On Tuesday. So by then, Monday is already sentenced, he was a dead man. And if he's a dead man, there's no Edom Zaymim. And that the Mishnah doesn't say. And therefore Rav is saying that din. But as introduction to that din, Rav says that if they say he killed him on Sunday, and the other two witnesses said no, he killed him on Monday, the Edom Zaymim will get killed. Because when they testified, he was still an innocent guy. Now the Gemara is leaving death penalty, and the Gemara is going into monetary scenario with the same din. V'chein le'inyan tashlumei knas. The same thing is with payment of fines. Now, there's two types of payments in halacha. There's monetary payment, and there's a fine. Yeah, but it's different than the goyish punitive damages, because in Torah law there's an exact amount. For instance, if I tear your clothing, yeah, the clothing worth $50, I have to give you $50. This is monetary damages, not a fine. I damage you $50, I have to pay $50. If you steal something, a ganef pays double, right? The double is a fine. It's not a monetary damage, because I only stole $100 from you. Why do I have to give you $200? That's a fine. Mm-hmm. The case the Gemara is going to say now, if you steal an animal and you shecht it or sell it, so then the Torah says you have to pay 4 or 5 times the amount
to who?
Only by those animals.
To the owner.
Oh.
Kefil goes to the owner.
So he gets the fine also. The owner.
He gets the fine.
Hmm.
Now there's a difference between monetary damages and fine damages. What's the difference? This is not so relevant in the Gemara, but Tosis talks about it. But you know, we'll first see in the Gemara. Monetary damages you have to pay regardless of admission or if you're caught.
Mm-hmm.
If I burn down your house, I have to pay you $1 million, yeah? Even if I come along to Bez Din and say, Bez Din, I burnt down the guy's house, you still have to pay the damages. It's not going to help you. You have to pay. But if a ganef, who normally has to pay a fine of double, comes to Bez Din before he's caught, and says, Bez Din, I stole it, he only pays back the principal, not the double.
You believe him?
Yeah.
Because it's monetary.
Because it's monetary. There's no punishment of Malkus because Lavanita Klase, but you don't get punished for it. I'll give you another example. If you owned a piece of Chazer, and I come to Bez Din and say, I ate his Chazer. Now we learned before that you're not believed on a sin to say you did it. But if I say to Bez Din, I ate your chazer, I have to pay you damages. Right? But I don't get whipped. I'm not believed I ate chazer, but I'm believed I damaged your property. One thing has nothing to do with the next.
Yeah. Just like the other case.
The criminal aspect of it, you're not believed. The financial aspect, you are believed.
In the other case, by adultery, he brings another guy who wasn't with him.
Right.
So the adultery happened with somebody else.
Right.
So to speak.
The case of the Gemara is plainly Ravani Lirtzeni. If a guy says for homosexuality in Torah, you get punished. Yeah.
Get killed.
Okay. You get killed. A guy says this guy committed homosexuality with me. And then another guy testifies that that guy committed homosexuality with me. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So on me, there's one witness and me. And the other guy, there's me and the other guy. Right? So he gets killed and I don't. Because on him, there's two witnesses. I believe, and this is the din, Palgin and Diburi, cut his words in half. Bez Din believes that he committed homosexuality, that half they believe, but not with me half. With me they don't believe, but that he committed they do believe.
Yeah.
Understand?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't pointing to you, but
no, I know. I knew you were going to say something before I got out.
Is that so? Even then, mm-hmm. You have to, Bez Din would split a guy's words in half. Half we believe him and half we don't believe him. Of the same sentence. Half we believe him, half we don't.
Mm-hmm.
But before we know God, the Gemara says, what's the case? Two witnesses came and said, on Sunday, Gonaf Tavach u'machar. Two witnesses come and say, on Sunday morning we saw Reuven steal an animal and shecht it, or slaughter it, or sell it. Memela, they're saying that Reuven has to pay 4 or 5 times the animal.
Only with those animals.
Though.
Only by
Shorvese. Right. Ubo Shnaim Ba'amru, and two other witnesses come and say to the first group, how could you testify you saw Reuven steal the ox? Yeah? Imanu Ayisim, you were with us in Hawaii. But they say, but he did do it on Monday. Not like you guys said Sunday, because Sunday you were with us. He did it on Monday. Okay. Or, so the din is Mishalman. Right. They have to pay.
Because he wasn't convicted.
And not only that. Even if they said he did it Friday, before the Sunday. But Lepel Bezdin never convicted the guy that he has to pay Knas. So, Be'erev Shabbos Gana V'tavach HaMachar, Mishalmin. Then he also has to pay the Knas. Why? To be Edna, to come Misidi, because Sunday morning when they testified, Reuven was not guilty yet of stealing and selling. Gavr Lebra Teshlumi, he's not obligated to pay. Right? Therefore, what's the din? So the Mefarshim explained a very interesting concept, Rashi says. Because the guy could come to court and get out of it. If Reuven ran to court Sunday and said, I stole it, he wouldn't pay the fine. He would give back the principal, but not the fine. So when they testified Sunday morning that Reuven stole, he was still innocent. And he didn't necessarily have to come to pay. So they're making an innocent person guilty to pay a fine. But, Bo Shnayim though, what happens, this is Rav's second case, and they said, two guys said, B'chabe Shabbat, Gana V'tav V'mach V'nig Medine. The two witnesses say, Sunday Reuven did it, and he was convicted on Sunday. And the other two say, no, B'chabe Shabbat Imanu, your Sunday, you were with us. But, and if Shabbos Gana V'tav V'mach V'nig Medine, but he was convicted on Friday, right? So by the time he testified Sunday, he was already convicted as a guilty person. Or, not even that, even if they said, on Sunday he stole, and on Monday he was sentenced, they don't pay. Why? Because when they testified, he already was convicted to pay. Because they said it was happening on Friday or even Monday. Because once he's convicted, he can't get out of it already. Mm-hmm. So the question is very simple. Right. If when the witnesses testified, the guy was still innocent, even though the next day he became guilty, they're Eidim Zeimim. Because right now he's innocent. If the guy was already guilty, and by the time they testify, it doesn't matter when they're testifying about, but when they testified, the guy was already sentenced, then they testified against the guilty party. That means, it's interesting, if witnesses come today and say that 3 weeks ago a guy killed somebody, or stole, yeah? 3 weeks ago. And then, yesterday though, Adam say that the guy was already convicted.
I'd say it happened yesterday.
But it happened a week ago, not 3 weeks ago.
Right.
You wouldn't touch the Adam's Amen. Either testifying that 3 weeks ago the guy did it, and 3 weeks ago he was innocent. But you look at when they testify, not when they're testifying about. Today they testified. Now they're liars, because the lying is in the testimony. Not what they lie about. Now they're lying. Now he's already convicted. There's no Edom Zeimim. Because if Edom Zeimim talk about a convicted person, he's convicted already.
In the case of we have Akhosha, and then say the next day one of each pair join up and the goal will be made in a different case,
they're not believed.
Then they're not believed because one of them is Malvish Snyder's.
Right, but each group separately is believed.
Yeah, each group could go because, right, but.
Right.
Yeah.
One and one would be a liar. Let me just explain this, what he said. If two witnesses say Reuven killed Shimon, two witnesses say Levi killed Shimon, so they're disagreeing, right? We don't know who's lying. They cancel each other out. There's no testimony. Now, one of these groups are liars. Obviously. We just don't know which one, but one of them is liar. Let's say it's Reuven and Shimon in one group, and Yosef and Binyamin in another group. Reuven and Shimon say A killed B. Yosef and Binyamin say C killed B. So what's the din? Cancel each other out, there's no witnesses. Now, one group are liars, correct? Can Yosef and Binyamin be kosher witnesses in a different case? The din is yes. Can Reuven and Shimon be kosher witnesses in a different case? Yes. One of them's liars. But when you look at each one, a person is kosher until proven treif. Right? But, what happened if Reuven goes with Yosef to testify? They're not kosher witnesses. Because one of them for sure is a liar. In other words, when Yosef and Binyamin go together, you look at them and say, listen, do we know they're liars? Maybe the other group's liars, we don't know. So they're kosher. Reuven and Shimon together, they're kosher. Maybe the other groups are liars, right? We don't know, so every person's kosher. But if one guy from this group or one guy from this group goes together, it's not a kosher testimony because one guy's for sure lying.
So, do we call
Edom
Zayim, or they're just not
believed? No, they're not believed. They're not Edom Zayim. Edom Zayim is only when you say that how did you testify you were with us. But if there's an argument who did it, yeah, there's no question. I'll give you another example. Two witnesses say Reuven lent Shimon $1,000. Two other witnesses say he lent them $500. What's the din?
You're paying
$500. Because that both agree on. Mm-hmm. And the other $500 he doesn't have to pay. Because there's no... The witnesses cancel each other out. There's no witnesses.
You make him swear enough.
No? No. No, not in that case.
We learn about a lot of cases. You keep another $500 in a safe deposit in Beit Din. Which case was that?
That's a case if him and me gave you $300 to watch. One of us gave you $100 and one gave you $200. Right? All you know is you have $300. And you know one gave you $100 and one gave you $200. Now he comes to you and says, I was the one that gave you the $200. And I come to you and I say, I was the one that gave you the $200. So what should you do?
It's the PSH 200.
So the Chachamim hold. No. The Chachamim hold. You give me 100. You give him 100. And the third 100 you put away until Eliyahu HaNavi comes. Because that we don't know. Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Yossi is smart. The halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi. But Rabbi Yossi says, so what is the liar losing? The liar is not losing anything. Because he got his $100 anyway. So Rabbi Yossi says, put away the whole 300. Don't give it to anybody. Why? Hopefully the liar will come along and admit.
And that's not fair to the other guy then.
Tough luck. You don't know what to do.
What's that halacha like?
Like the Chacham, give each one.